from the Radio Ranch in beautiful Sugar Land, Texas, where life truly is sweeter. It's the Bombastic Blogcast for Thursday, February 15th, 2024. I'm the G-Man, Dan Gallo.
Hey, G-Man.
You're yourself, defender of the peace, keeper of the justice, purveyor of truth, and one heck of a nice guy. Let's get things started right with...
The Daily Denogram.
Yep. Words of wisdom, words of inspiration, brain droppings, or nuggets, you get to make the call. Good one here. It says, dolphins are so intelligent that with only a few weeks of captivity, they can train humans to stand at the very edge of the pool and throw them fish. Yeah, but what does that say about us, huh?
What a dumb thing to do.
Now to the educational part of the program. Let's go for it. Come on.
Twisted history.
This is it.
Gather around, kids, because a lot of things happen on this day throughout history. Some cool, some not so cool. Just the same. You need to know your twisted history.
Yes, you do.
You might be quizzed.
I wouldn't sweat that. Well, kids, it was on this day in 1946. ENIAC, the first electronic general-purpose computer, was formally dedicated at the University of Pennsylvania in Philadelphia. It was about the size of four industrial-sized refrigerators set side by side. Yeah, your smartphone has more computing ability than that now. Isn't that amazing? And it was on this day in 1972, Jose Maria Velasco Ibarra, serving as president of Ecuador for the fifth time, was overthrown by the military for the fourth time. Man, you gotta hand it to any country with that degree of political instability. Woo! Well, the vote went through, and Alejandro Mayorkas, head of DHS, and basically head of the border, has been impeached. Now, normally what would take place is the trial and all of that, and I don't know if it's going to come around because the Democrats are going to do anything and everything they can, alongside the RINOs, by the way, to prevent that from happening. So we'll see what happens. We will see. You know, what was that? A couple of months into the Biden administration, I had this theory that the real person running the White House was none other than Barack Obama. Because I was putting two and two together back in those days. We're talking about something that I was starting to discuss not quite 3 years ago, but just about 3 years ago. I think I started putting two and two together around March or April. And kind of getting the idea that, wait a minute, what this guy Biden is doing is what Barack Obama was doing when he was president. So obviously, Biden is a proxy and a mannequin for the Obama administration. It was Obama 2.0 was what we were calling it. And the thing that bothered me about this was, I'm no genius. Never studied political science. I don't have a law degree. I'm just like you. I'm a normal, good old all-American schmuck who gets up, puts his pants on in the morning, goes to work. And yet, I was able to figure this out almost immediately on the threshold of the Biden administration. And couldn't figure out why nobody else seemed to be figuring it out. Although when I talked to people, everybody seemed to think that was plausible. Oh, yeah, yeah. This guy's just, he's not capable of being president. Somebody's pulling the strings. So a lot of other people kind of figured it out along the way, or at least theorized it. Now, usually you don't feel that you have a handle on what's really happening until somebody else, somebody with street creds, comes along and confirms it. Well, this happened the other day when Glenn Beck appeared on Megyn Kelly's podcast on Sirius XM.
There's no way Joe Biden can win. He's got a 37% approval rating. Why did they pick him in the first place? Because he was hidden, and I believe because he was corrupt. He was old, senile, and corrupt. So they knew when they were ready to dispose of him, they could just dispose of him. Now he's got a 37% approval rating. They can't let this happen. Who's really running the White House? Who's the only president that didn't move away from Washington after his term ended? Barack Obama. I think that Barack Obama and his people, his group, this is a puppet show we're watching, and they're having him do all of the really hard, destructive things. So one term, he's got all that, and then we look for a new one if you can't find one. And I know everybody says that she doesn't want it, but I don't think that matters. Michelle Obama.
And he's got a great point there, because the more they protest, you know, the fact that, oh, Michelle doesn't want the job. She hates politics. She doesn't want the job. They're never going to run Michelle. You know, goes back to that old Shakespearean line, methinks he doth protest too much. The more they say she doesn't want the job, the more they say she's not interested in it, forget about Michelle, the more I'm convinced they're going to run Michelle. And Michelle is going to appeal to the least common denominator among the voting bloc, okay? The people who are least educated, the people who've learned absolutely nothing from our high interest rates, our ever-increasing inflation. You saw the latest inflation report, right? Because the administration was trying to downplay the inflation. Oh, it's eased. It has eased. Well, for one thing, it never stopped. And another thing that became painfully apparent the other day, and that is inflation is not slowing. Inflation is, in fact, increasing. You think you're paying a lot right now? Wait until, midsummer. But see, then, because it is election year, they're going to ease up on it. The Fed, are going to be pressured into doing something to give the Democrats a bit of a break, to give them a chance in the polls on November. What is it? November 5th is election day this year? So there's all this manipulation going on. And we're going to be getting a lot of numbers, a lot of reports from the White House, from the Fed, from all these government agencies that are going to be outright lies. Because all these government agencies are interested in one thing, and it's keeping the Democrats in power. And the reason they want to do this is because all of these agencies are run by Democrats. You know, Donald Trump didn't have enough time to blow everybody out. What he should have done when he took office in January 2017, what he should have done is he should have fired anybody and everybody who had anything whatsoever to do with the Obama administration. Get rid of the appointees, blow everybody out, and that includes even the staffers, the desk people in these government organizations. Get rid of them. I mean, a lot of people mock Donald Trump for his constantly stressing loyalty. But I think in this particular case, loyalty is certainly warranted, particularly in the MAGA movement. MAGA, quite frankly, as much as it's being demonized by the left and the mainstream media, when anytime you mention the left, you have to automatically include by default the mainstream media. And just by default, the media is going to demonize the MAGA movement. But the MAGA movement is the only thing that's going to save this country and save the Judeo-Christian culture. Seems like every couple of days there's another revelation having to do with our administration or one of the intelligence agencies, be it the NSA, the CIA, the FBI, or whatever. But we have a new one now that has sparked widespread concern. The current administration has actually acknowledged the surveillance of private financial transactions of American citizens. I'm going to assume I'm still an American citizen. I mean, I was born here in this country. I served 4 years in the United States Air Force. So I'm going to assume I'm still a citizen. So this news here is going to include me. Now, the surveillance program targeted specific keywords like MAGA, Trump, and Kamala following the events of January 6th. Now, the disclosure of this information has led to an uproar among privacy advocates and citizens alike who see this as a gross invasion of personal liberties, which it is. I mean, these aren't some, pardon the expression, trumped up charges. This is happening. The administration actually acknowledges it. The audacity. Now, this surveillance initiative was brought to light through a letter from the Treasury Department, which indicated that exchange events began shortly after the January 6th incident under the previous administration. Now, this letter was in response to inquiries made by Senator Tim Scott, a member of the Senate Banking Committee, who expressed some serious concerns about the violation of Americans' privacy and the targeting of U.S. citizens without due process. In other words, you're being watched. Now, Mr. Scott, who had supported the Anti-Money Laundering Act of 2020, aimed at preventing money laundering and terrorism financing, was taken aback by the extent of the surveillance. Because apparently the act facilitated the sharing of data between law enforcement and financial institutions through the what they call the FinCEN exchange program. But the recent findings suggest that the program may have been used to monitor activities far beyond its intended scope. Now, raise your hand if you're really surprised by that. Because, as we all know, when it comes to giving power to our government, we give them an inch, they take a mile. Now, documents uncovered during a House Judiciary Committee and Subcommittee on Weaponization of the Federal Government revealed that financial institutions were advised by FinCEN to filter records using certain keywords. See, that's how they facilitate all of this. They seize on a few keywords. And those keywords, if you use them, could be used against you. And surprisingly, these included benign activities. Stuff like the purchase of religious texts like the Bible and media subscriptions deemed to contain extremist views. And the breadth of the surveillance raised some alarms when it was discovered that even everyday transactions could have placed citizens under scrutiny. Now, Judiciary Chairman Jim Jordan, thank God for him because he is so thorough. He highlighted the absurdity of this situation with hypothetical examples. For instance, suggesting that buying a Bible or shopping at certain stores could flag an individual to the federal government? Hmm? The terms MAGA and Trump were also reportedly suggested by the department to be searched in Zelle payments, according to the report released by Jim Jordan. And this has led to accusations of political bias and the misuse of surveillance powers to target individuals based on their political affiliations or personal interests. Now, Secretary of the Treasury, Janet Yellen, who has never impressed me, has since stated that she would investigate why the department sent instructions to banks on how to search Americans' transaction records. Oh, I'm sure she's going to investigate. Sure she will. And then she'll promptly get back with Jim Jordan. But the statement comes as little consolation, if any, to those who feel that their trust in the government's respect for privacy has been betrayed. Now, the controversy surrounding this surveillance program is a pretty blatant reminder of the delicate balance between national security and individual freedoms, which seem to be eroding on a daily basis. And as the debate continues, a lot of people are calling for transparency, accountability, and safeguards to ensure that this kind of overreach doesn't occur in the future. But we all know it will, right? The administration now faces the challenge of regaining public trust while upholding the principles of privacy. We assume that there still are principles of privacy that are foundational to the American way of life. I mean, is it guaranteed in the Constitution? Not in so many words, but the implication is certainly there. Henry Rogers, who's the chief national correspondent for the Daily Caller News Foundation, wrote that Kentucky Republican Rand Paul, Senator Rand Paul, and Florida Republican Representative Matt Gaetz both endorse Arizona Senate Republican candidate Kari Lake. Now, this went down back on Monday. They're endorsing her for the U.S. Senate. Now, both Paul and Gaetz said that they believe Lake is going to be the perfect candidate to shake things up in Washington and defeat her Democrat opponent, Representative Ruben Gallego. Well, here's what Gates said directly to the Daily Caller. He said, Carrie Lake is a MAGA to her core and can't be bought by the establishment. I'm proud to endorse her for the United States Senate in Arizona. I'm very much looking forward to watching her shake up the halls of power. Well, you're not alone on that one, Matt. And Rand Paul said, Carrie Lake will go to Washington, D.C. to shake things up. That's exactly the kind of leadership that Arizona needs in the United States Senate. I'm proud to endorse Carrie Lake for the U.S. Senate because she has the policies, the drive, and desire to defeat the Washington war machine and restore American liberties. Good points. Good points. You know, it's really funny when you hear statements like that. And of course, Rand Paul is a libertarian, but he, you know, he's also a Republican. But when you hear statements like that, it's almost like going back to the 1960s and early 1970s, as the left used to be. What's that old saying about a conservative is a person who worships dead radicals? That's kind of us, isn't it? I mean, we baby boomers, we conservative baby boomers, are former leftists. I don't know that we were really leftists. I think we were common sense. You had this stupid war in Vietnam that ground on and on and on and on. And we were losing 500 American soldiers a week in Vietnam by 1968. Which, by the way, was the year I got my draft notice. And you go back to 1968 and you just go ahead and grab a baby boomer with a vivid memory of 1968 and you find out what a really bad year that was. That was not a fun year. So when I hear endorsements like this, I'm thinking, yeah, these are my people. So anyhow, for Carrie Lake's part, she told the Daily Caller she's grateful for the endorsements and said that both Paul and Gates have been champions fighting for liberty and against the Washington war machine. And quoting her, she says, I'm thankful to have the endorsement of America First Warriors, Senator Rand Paul and Representative Matt Gates. They've been champions for fiscal responsibility, liberty, and fighting against the Washington war machine. I look forward to working with them to implement President Trump's agenda. Well, that's what it's all about, really. Behind people like this, Rand Paul, and I don't know what Rand Paul's personal feelings are toward Donald Trump, but you know by the things that Rand Paul advocates for, that he's, you know, in the background influencing him is Donald Trump. Especially the case for Matt Gaetz and Carrie Lake. She's been unabashed entirely about her support for Donald Trump. And of course, she's been endorsed by Trump. She's also been endorsed by Wyoming Senator John Barrasso, Arkansas Senator Tom Cotton, who is a top-notch legislator, Tennessee Senator Bill Hagerty, Kansas Senator Roger Marshall, Alabama Senator Tommy Tuberville, Indiana Representative Jim Banks, and New York Representative Elise Stefanik. Now, that list of names right there, you just don't get any better than those people when it comes to getting your vote and getting your support. These are all top-notch people. Now, back on October 3rd, Lake registered her Senate campaign committee with the Federal Elections Commission ahead of the launch of her campaign. And she ran for governor in 2022. You remember that. She's heavily favored to win the GOP primary. And if selected as the primary candidate, Lake is then going to likely, I want to put that word in quotes. She's likely going to face the independent Arizona Senator Kyrsten Sinema and Democratic Arizona Representative Ruben Gallego in a three-way general election. Now, Kyrsten Sinema has a known track record. It's not entirely bad. Gallego, oh, typical Democrat. So the publication Cook Political rates Arizona Senate as a toss-up, meaning it's likely going to be a better pickup opportunity for Senate Republicans than Pennsylvania or Montana, which are rated to lean Democrat in 2024. I still am trying to figure out what in the world is it about the Democrats that these voters see they should be voting for. Who in their right mind? Well, okay, that's it right there. Who in their right mind? Anyhow, two recent polls show Lake with a slight lead over Gallego. And that's what I don't understand, especially from Arizona. In some more news that seems to have gotten buried, back on Monday, former acting U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement Director Tom Homan, I like this guy. I see him often on Fox News and on YouTube because he testifies a lot in front of these congressional committees. But Monday, he explained on Fox Business that Democrats' plan for the southern border is now finally backfiring due to the upcoming 2024 elections. He was on the Bottom Line with Dagan and Duffy program to discuss a recent interview between Alejandro Mayorkas and NBC host Kristen Welker, who, of course, did nothing but lob softball questions at Mayorkas. And Mayorkas managed to avoid taking responsibility, of course. It's what he does best for this ongoing border crisis. And then Dagan McDowell over there on Fox Business asked Tom Homan about this mess and particularly about Mayorkas' response as these illegal aliens continue to cross into the U.S.
Tom, the fact that that individual still sits there and has the audacity to say that when this started day one, we didn't need an Axios expose to know what went wrong. We've watched it.
Yeah, I agree. And I disagree with the actual stories at some points because I don't think it was chaos. I think it was planned. This was by design. They opened that border. That's a part of their plan. And their plans come together very well. In 3 years, they've had record amounts of illegal aliens crossing the border, record amounts of illegal aliens released to the United States. This is exactly what he ran on. This is what they're doing. This is by design. So they can say they tried to ignore it. They don't want to talk about it. Everybody else was talking about it. But their plans come together very well. The problem is now the election's coming up. And now they're trying to do a 180 on us, and it's not going to work.
Since April of 2023, not quite a year ago, when Mayorkas called the border secure, over 1.5 million migrant encounters have been recorded by, these are the ones recorded by CBP agents. Now, under the Biden administration, illegal immigration hit record numbers with over 2 million migrant encounters recorded within the fiscal year of 2023. It's mind-numbing. So it's going to be interesting to see how this impeachment works out because the impeachment has finally been voted in. It was a narrow vote. It only won by one vote. And now, the trial process, does it go to trial? Will it, you know, there are so many things that could prevent this impeachment from actually maturing into a real impeachment. But the approval ratings for Mayorkas, next to nothing. There's an extensive article in the Epoch Times that appeared yesterday. It was written by Darlene McCormick Sanchez. And in it, she says that the United States is basically bankrolling its own invasion. And the way they're doing this is they're funding the United Nations and its partners, which in turn give hundreds of millions of dollars in cash and aid to migrants who eventually cross the U.S. southern border illegally. I knew there had to be something behind this. There's some kind of an engine that's powering this. When you see the independent film footage, nobody shoots film anymore. Independent video footage of these caravans of people. They've all got cell phones. Some of them are even riding up here through some countries in buses. Who is financing this? These people are migrants. They don't have jobs. They don't have incomes. And yet they've got cell phones. Who is bankrolling this? We are. And this isn't anything new because it's pretty much common knowledge that the UN has aided migrants for decades. And the scope of its operation has recently dramatically expanded as the sheer number of illegal aliens from at least 160 different countries get into the United States. And that number has surged. And that expansion's been fueled by more than $1 billion in funding from the U.S. government to the U.N., as well as other agencies assisting illegal aliens, according to a government spending database. And let's not forget all of the NGOs, the non-government organizations, who are assisting these people, these illegals, once they get into the country. And the Catholic and Lutheran churches are key among them. So, anyhow, Todd Benzman is a senior national security fellow at the Center for Immigration Studies. And it's basically a pro-immigrant, low-immigration think tank. He says, we're actually funding our own border crisis. He says, and it's provided by, ultimately, the United States taxpayer. Well, of course. When you're talking about billions of dollars that the U.S. government is spending, it's not the government's money. It's yours and mine. Remember that as you fill out your taxes before April 15th. And until President Biden took office, the U.S. had obligated about $500 million per year to the International Organization for Migration, the IOM. And that is the U.N.'s migration arm. And that funding has skyrocketed under the Biden administration, nearly $1.3 billion in 2023, more than double what it had been under the Trump administration. And that's according to USAspending.gov. It's going to be very interesting to see what Donald Trump does once he gets back into the White House. Is he going to do what he must do, and that is shut the border down completely? To the Comedy Corner and the return of Greg Morton.
We buy our children way too much stuff, don't we? My nephews, this is what they wanted. 8, 9 years old. This is what they want for Christmas. An iPad. I'll get you a notepad. You want a notepad? You better get an iJob with some iCash if you want an iPad, because you're not messing up iCredit score. Do you know how much money is? That's like if we were kids asking for 300 bicycles or something like that. I'll get you the original iPad. It's called the Etch-a-Sketch. You can have that. Where are all the apps? Right here. Now, why don't you stand outside under that tree, get some Angry Birds on there. There you go. We had good toys when we were kids. We had toys that would kill you. We had Light Bright in the bathtub. Easy Bake Oven. My sister tried to kill me with the Easy Bake Oven. She would run out of mix and then make something up out of her head, like she's Martha Stewart or something.
Eat it, it's a cake.
That's a cat turd, I'm not eating that. I fell for it once, I'm not gonna fall for it again. You think I'm stupid? Lights off. Every toy that they came out with would kill you. What was that one toy? Oh, jarts. Remember jarts? Lawn darts. Did you ever have that? Darts this big. They were darts. They were so dangerous, they banned them. You can't get a lawn dart today. You can get an assault weapon. But you cannot get a lawn dart. And I remember playing with my friends. You go stand. Stand in the ring! That's what it was like. It was like horseshoes with darts. Tetherball, that would teach you how to take a sucker punch. That was a good toy. When we were kids, nothing was safe. I'm serious. I mean, remember the playgrounds? Right? I mean, now they're all like Chuck E. Cheese, these little plastic balls and foam for the to fall on. What a bunch of wussies. We had blacktop. And you'd look down and you'd see the skin from other kids laying on top of the blacktop.
Yeah, I'm a witness to that. Get out there and make it a terrific Thursday. Thanks for listening. We'll catch you on tomorrow's Bombastic Blogcast. Remember, no such thing as spare change, free lunch, or too much horsepower. And you be sure to take some time today just to thank the good Lord that you're an American.
You mean that's it?
See you tomorrow, G-Man.